Diamonds, and welcome to this month's episode. I'm your host, Naleli Star. In this episode, I want to talk about money wins, struggles, and aspirations. So, as most of us know, as you grow older, the responsibilities that life throws at you demand that you have a certain financial capacity. In this episode, what I'm hoping to share with you guys is what I feel my wins are thus far, what my struggles have been, but also kind of what my aspirations are as I journey through my 30s. So I'm going to be turning 34 years in September. It's going to be a whole episode about that. But in this episode specifically, I want to talk about what I feel like has worked for me this far and what I have really, really struggled with. But also what I'm aspiring to, like, why am I doing all these things? Why am I even thinking about money? Why am I planning about money? Where am I trying to land? I want to start by saying that I have been investing some time learning about finances. So just trying to understand, if you're trying to get your life in order financially, where do you start? What are some of the things that you do? I've listened to YouTube videos, I've read books, I've read blogs. So majority of this really could be some of the things that you've heard, but I am going to be talking about how I relate to the information that is out there. So one of the things that I have noticed from all the financial information that is out there, you know, about personal finances, is you need to have an emergency fund. So an emergency fund, basically what they advise is that it should be a minimum of 6 months living expenses. So you need to understand, what are my living expenses on a monthly basis? So for example, if, for argument's sake, your monthly expenses are like 3,000, so you need to multiply 3,000 by 6, and that should be the minimum amount of money that you should have in your emergency fund. So much that if you find yourself in a situation where you're not able to generate income, or your income has been cut off, you can fall back on that emergency fund and have 6 months income to just help you sort yourself out and just try to get back on your feet. So I learned about the emergency fund a long time ago. I don't know why I did not prioritize it. I thought I was doing something like that, but then the issue is, I'll talk about it when it comes to my struggles, is how I did not play out, how I didn't plan it properly, so to speak. So one of the things that I have really prioritized right now is building an emergency fund, and I started doing that last year. So I have some money that is in an account that I have told myself that I'm not going to touch. And this year, I actually went a step further and just said, you know what, I'm going to put this money in a fund, in a mutual fund, in a trust fund, so that I don't touch that money at all. And I don't even think about it. So whatever it is that I'm going through, I don't think about that money. That is money that I've just stashed away, and I'm still building it, because my emergency fund, like, I shared what the calculation is. So maybe, like, in my emergency fund, I probably have something like maybe like 15%, maybe 20% of what I'm actually supposed to have as an emergency fund, as per se. So it's not something that I can say that is concluded. It is something that I'm actually working on, but I'm so proud because I actually started, and I'm getting really serious about it. Like, I think a lot about it, like, how can I make sure that, you know, that part of my financial goal is actually secured, that it's actually there. Another thing that I feel like I have really coined and is a win for me is that I have developed a habit of saving. So in the book, The Psychology of Money, the author talks about saving just for the purpose of saving, not because you want to buy a car, or you want to buy a house, or you're saving for something big. So you just save. You just have the habit of every time that I get my income, I'm going to set aside this amount of money. Not because I'm going to be using it for something, but because I just want to have some money saved away somewhere. So I save via different platforms. So like I said, I'm still working towards my emergency fund. So part of my savings obviously go to that. I am part of a village banking group, something that I'm so grateful for, because really it does come in handy. So I push some money to that as well. The money from the village bank normally is so I can have, I normally plan what to do with that money. So I save, and I said to myself, okay, the money that I'm saving, I need to save this amount of money, and at the end of the year I know that when the money comes out, this is what I'm spending on. So majority of the times, if I have a financial goal, a financial purchase that, you know, I need to save towards, I feel like the village bank is a really good way to save that. Because the thing with the village bank is I can't access my money up until the end of the cycle, and our cycle runs for like 12 months. So we start in January and it ends in December. So whatever money that I'm stashing away, I can't touch that money. And it's a good habit, or it's a good system to have in place, because sometimes you kind of feel like, oh, I saved too much money, maybe I should have spent part of it. So for me, the village bank process, or the village bank system, really has helped me save for certain purchases or for certain payments. But also, other than that, I have what I would refer to as a sinking fund. So this is where I just remember that the point here is to just develop the habit of saving. So where you just save for something, and my sinking fund, that's my outlet for saving for just. So what I do is I save 100 kwacha, and I know it seems so minimal, so you might think, oh, that's too little, what can it do for me? Wait until you have an issue and you actually have a 2 pin, or you have a 3 pin stashed away for just, and you don't have to borrow, you don't have to call people up and say I need to borrow 2,000. That's when you understand the impact of 100 kwacha. So I have that, I just put away again. That's not money that I think about. And I have another account that I consider my short-term emergency fund. So if I overspend on gas, or there's an emergency, you know, at home, that's where I touch. And the idea is, if I touch there, I need to discipline myself enough to, you know, put back. So I have that. So really just developing the habit of saving. And for me, I feel like having these different platforms where I get to stash away my money, whether it be for short-term, medium, or long-term goals, has really, really helped me just assert myself, you know, like financially. I'm not yet there, but I feel like I'm on the right path to like get into financial stability. Really, that's what I'm working towards. So it feels good. For the village bank, the minimum that you can save is 300. So again, something that is affordable. It looks small, but it's something that, you know, when it compounds over the month, it actually gives you a good buffer to be able to start the year with. So, and you can save as much as you want, but the minimum is like 300, which is a good thing. Another issue that I feel so strongly about is my retirement fund. So I'm still debating whether I still want to retire early, but in some of my previous episodes I have mentioned that I do want to retire early. And I know that we have all these statutory frameworks where, you know, the government tries to cater for people who are going into retirement. But one thing again that I have noticed is nobody ever retired or got their retirement package and became rich or thrived on it. I don't want to say too much about it, but I just don't think that it is sufficient enough to support a person who has retired, coming from a place where they were having a steady income to a place where they actually now get peanuts. Because literally, I think majority of the people that have retired that I know, literally that's what they say, it's like it's a fall from grace. So I really want to be able to retire comfortably. I think that's what I really want. I don't want to feel like when I retire, my kids should then now take on the responsibility of caring or providing for me to be sustained. I want to be able to do that for myself, and whatever it is that they choose, you know, to do to assist with that, you know, should just be a bonus. Because one thing that we need to understand is by the time that I will be retiring, my kids are literally going to be in the middle of their adulting life. They're going to have all the responsibilities that I have right now that are choking me. They're going to be experiencing those. And sometimes I feel like as parents, you might feel like they need to prioritize you know, because you did this for them. But I really don't want to find myself in that situation. So I'm slowly working towards a retirement fund or a retirement plan, so to speak, just something that I know when I get to retirement is going to be giving me passive income. I'm going to have a sort of a fund where I can draw an income from. For those of you who are more interested in learning about retirement funds, one of the principles that I'm using to build my retirement fund is the FIRE principle. So FIRE is basically an early retirement movement, financial independence, retire early. So I got on that because I really felt at some point that I really want to retire early, but I'm having second thoughts because there are other things that I'm pursuing that I do not think are going to end up in early retirement. But I still want to be able to have that contingency plan should I reach a point where I feel like, okay, I still want to retire early. So I still have that plan for my emergency fund. I feel like that also is a win for me, starting to plan retirement early. So another issue is, you know, working towards multiple sources of income. But then the thing about multiple sources of income, what they don't tell you is you are literally going to have to work as twice or thrice or four times more than the person who's just getting one income. So because for every income, you actually need to put in some sort of effort. So, or you have to like sacrifice, whether you're like buying shares, and also it depends like how many shares you're actually getting, how lucrative that company is, whether you're investing in bonds or treasury bills, or it could be a side hustle where you actually actively have to be working ongoing outside of your 9-to-5. So you also just have to plan for the extra effort that you need to put in. Another win that I feel has really worked for me is keeping my debt to a minimum. So in the past, you know, when you have friends and you want to support their business, you get things on credit. They'll tell you, you know what, you're my friend, you're my person, I know you, get this thing and then you pay me at the month end. And that would really mess up my budget, because then I got something that I didn't plan for, like it's not in my budget. For example, if you get like a medal of rice from somebody, and these days they'll tell you if you're buying cash it's 100 kwacha, if you're getting on credit it's like 120. So already they're factoring in their risk cost. Getting clothes on credits, another thing that I don't do at all. And even when like I like to put clothes on lay-by for my kids. If I'm doing that, I literally need to think, okay, I'm putting these clothes on lay-by because, you know, this month I actually have a buffer of this and I can pay, and this is how I plan on how to pay it. So I prioritize that debt. But trying to keep my debts to a minimum, that is something that has really helped me. And also just staying away from consumption debt as much as possible, living within your means. Don't borrow a 500 kwacha because you want to get a bottle of wine. That's a no-no for me. If I don't have, I don't have, unless otherwise it's too much of an emergency, I need to borrow to consume. But I really am trying to stay away from consumption debt. Another thing that has really, really worked well for me is having an annual budget template. So like right now, I already have my template. I'm already working on it for 2024. So the budget really is aligned to the goals that I have set. So for example, for this year, My budget template reflects the goals or the aspirations that I have for 2023. And the thing about having that in mind is you are able then to know what to prioritize. I'm going to be prioritizing these. This is medium priority. It's not so much a top priority. This, it can wait. So if I have extra money, that's when I'll spend on it. But for now, the income that I have, these are my priorities. This is what I'm going to be focusing on. Why? Because this is what I want to achieve come end of the year, or come mid-year, or come whenever it is that your deadline is. This year, I've experienced a situation where I've had to repurpose funds within the budget lines. So for example, when I started out in January, I worked very well with my budget. I stuck to it. Come, I think maybe February, March, April, May, even up to now, I had to repurpose some funds. So again, the not so important budget lines, all those, I repurposed them to fund a priority budget line, because I thought, okay, this is P1 for me. I want it done. I want it done by the time I get to the middle of the year. I get that, I put, and so far I think my priority goals are looking like they're working out. Not so much stressed out about what was not a priority, what I repurposed funds from to sponsor my priority goals. So for 2024, I already have like what my priority list is going to look like. And even in my budget, I have factored that in. There's going to be certain changes that are going to occur for 2024. So even like when I was making my budget, I was like, okay, this year I was doing this, but next year my life is going to change like this. So I kind of need to let go of some things from this year and, you know, plan differently for 2024 based on the changes I'm going to encounter with my family, but also what my income structure is looking at like, and also what I do want to prioritize. So I didn't want to be splurging more. I feel like currently I'm in my season of sowing, so there's little areas where like I'm reaping. But what I want is what I'm reaping. I don't want to consume all of it. I want to make sure that I'm sowing back as much as possible, because there's going to be a time when I will need to reap more and sow less. But in this season of my life, I've told myself, you know what? It's okay. In this season, it appears that you will need to sow more. You will need to invest more. You will need to, you know, do away with certain things, regardless of what your baby girl lifestyle desires are. You will need to prioritize certain things. One thing that I really wanted to work on that I have terribly struggled with is tracking my expenditure. So last year I did very well up until maybe like September, October. It's a very tedious process. It's very involving. It's an element of you always constantly need to be tracking your expenses. Having a budget helps, but there's some times you get extra monies and you just spend it. Like for me, I have my spoils. So perfume, wine, fine dining, you know, based on what I was recording, like for the 9 months, I could tell like, okay, that's where I'm leaking from financially, and I should be looking at filling those gaps. Because like any other money that I would have, I'd be at a restaurant, you know, doing the baby girl lifestyle. I'd get a bottle of wine, I'll try out different ciders, you know, I'll take myself out for a movie, a little bit of a shopping spree here and there. But I realized, listen, I'm leaking. Like, those are not even my priorities. Like it's not on my priority list. So it helped me, but I really struggle with that because it takes time. Like you need to be committed and you need to be present. Every time that you release money, you need to record that you've actually released this money. I spent this money on this, I spent this money on tomatoes, I spent this money around the house doing this, I spent this money on transport going blah blah, put this amount of gas, I was going this size. So it just felt like a whole lot of a chore at some point, and I dumped it. But really, I did learn a lot of good lessons, just understanding where does the money go, but also where exactly am I losing it, when it comes to financial discipline. And I was able to work around that. So I feel very proud, but I think it's something that I have struggled with and it's something that I need to work on. Another mistake that I made is, you know, investing into an initiative that I had no business investing into. If you know, you know. So there was a very popular initiative that, you know, went ballistic, I think, late last year. And some of us put money in that, hoping that would get, you know, humongous retains. But yeah, I lost out on that money. So because it was too good to be true. But then I just felt greedy. So based on that, I've just told myself, listen, you need to develop a healthy relationship with money. So I don't know. Maybe there are some people who invest little and get, you know, huge returns. I don't know. But I think for me, my philosophy right now, or what I'm more inclined to, is just patience with money. Allow my money to work for me and be patient enough for it to like grow and do what it needs to do without me, you know, rushing it or giving it GMOs or whatever it is. So what are my aspirations? So I'm 34 and I have aspirations of what my financial outlook should be like by the time I'm 40. So the financial goal that I have set for myself is to build an income that allows me to meet my financial goals and take control of my money before I land at 40. I know, so cliche, I'm that person. I like to plan everything to the latter. So this is a goal that I'm actually working with. Every time that I'm thinking about my money, every time that I'm planning about my money, I'm thinking, okay, I need to build a sustainable income, preferably passive. But what I want is sustainable income, income that I know that is going to be able to sustain my financial goals, income that is going to enable me to take control of my finances, where I feel confident about meeting my financial obligations. I really, really want that. So what are my aspirations as I soldier on to 40? First things first, I want to experience zero spending days. Days where I wake up and I don't spend a penny because I have like planned properly and I have gotten everything in place and everything is just in place. I don't need to cough out money. So I'd like to experience that. I know there's some people that have said this from, you know, the content that I have consumed on the internet and, you know, conversations that people have had, but also some of the blogs that I have read. It's good to just get through certain days, even just 7 days, without actually spending money. Like, you just budget for this week, this is how much I'm spending and this is it. And if you need to spend it in advance, you spend it in advance. If you need supposed to spend it, like maybe you're supposed to have 2 bills paid in the week, that is all that you're paying, no additional what was. So I'd like to get to that point. Secondly, I would like to attend my 3 years FIRE figure by 40. So FIRE is just your living expenses on a monthly basis times 12 times the number of years that you know that you're going to be retired. So if again my living expenses are 3,000 times 12 months times, I want to be retired maybe for like 10 years. So that amount times 10 years, I know that it's going to carry me on. So I have done my calculations. I have my 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 years, actually calculated over a period of 5 years. But what I want is by the time I hit 40, at least I should have 3 years of that figure saved up, because it's huge. But also beyond that, I just want to stay out of date. Like, there's good dates, like I know that, like dates that you get that, you know, I'm investing and when I invest this date, this is how I intend to repay, but this date is actually going to push me, it's progressive. But otherwise, if it's just dates like consumption date, unnecessary dates that I don't actually need to contract, or dates that I can stay out of because I have money saved up. Remember, I talked about the sinking fund that I'm working towards. I would really, really like that. So just to stay out of dates, like debt is such a burden. And if you can stay out of it, just stay out of it. So also, I have a desired monthly net that I am working towards, and I constantly look at the desired budget template that has my desired income at the bottom. So remember, I said every year I have a template. So by the time I'm 40, there's a template that I want to be able to work with, like the amount of income that I should be gaining and the aspirations by the time I'm stepping into 40. I like that budget. You know, man, I look at it and I just smile. Like, I know I'm like miles away, but just looking at you makes me feel like, you know, you are attainable. I look at it at least once a day. I look at that budget template. I'm like, this budget template is good. This budget template looks like abundance. I actually, it's on my phone on the notes. So it's actually written abundance desired budget. By 40. Yes, I think that's the title. So I just look at it and I smile. Oh, I'm gonna be saving this much. This is good. Oh, okay, I'm gonna be saving this much. Oh, I'm gonna be spending this much on like lunches and shopping. I'm gonna be spending this much on like travel. I'm gonna be spending this much. It just gives me joy. Like, so I look at it constantly, like, oh, this, and I just spend time and just imagine myself like being that woman who earns that much net income. Like, oh, how wonderful it would be, the things that I would do, the life that I would enjoy. Not that, you know, the moment is not good. I am savoring everything that I can in the moment, but I also just, I allow myself to just imagine, oh, how nice it would be to actually get to that point as I work towards that point. Another aspiration that I have is to have diversified categories of saving goals and platforms. So I'm still learning a lot about the financial products that are in the market. I've never tried out bonds. I've never tried out treasury bills. These are just things that I hear about. There are certain, I think, financial products from insurance companies where you can save with them for a certain amount of time and they pay you back, blah, blah, blah. I have been doing my research, but certain things I feel like, oh, I'm not yet in a position where I can actually afford this product. But I look at them and I understand that they're good products, and those are platforms or frameworks of saving or categories of savings that I currently am not able to like indulge in. Even just with bonds, I know people say, oh, you can buy a bond for as low as, but then the return, well, from the discussions that people have been having, it's like bonds really make sense when you have a certain amount of money, you know. Treasury bills kind of feel the same, but again, like I said, I'm still learning about these financial products that are out there in the market. But what I would like is to have like a diversified portfolio where, oh, there's this product, it's good, oh, I try that out. Also, there are certain products that you actually have in dollars, and I think majority of them that I have seen around are actually high end returns. So all those things, I'd like that. One more thing that I think is very important is to have a plan to save for my children's college fund. I think that is something that is very important. You know, education is good, but good education is actually expensive. And you can imagine all the time I'm constantly thinking to myself, just now it feels like, you know, you're breaking a leg sometimes to like get through that education system and give them the best and take them to the best schools that you possibly can. What off, you know, college? I want my kids to be able to say, I want to go to this college without, you know, cost being an actual issue. Like, I would like for them to say, you know what, I want to go to, you know, Cambridge, or I want to go to Columbia, or I want to go to Cape Town University, or I want to go to even just a local university and do whatever it is that they want without ending up in like debt, or without struggling to get a scholarship. Scholarships are good, but they're also very competitive if you have tried applying for a scholarship. So that is something that I'm also aspiring to just make sure that by the time my kids are ready to go to college, that I actually have something prepared to be able to push them across the line to get them to that point. So anyway, for now, this is where we're going to end. If you are a person who's starting out your financial fitness journey, one of the things that I will encourage you is just read a lot, know what's on the market, know what works for you. Not everything is going to work for you. That's one thing I've really found out. They're just people who have like a lot of money and they have access, or they have the ability to actually enjoy different kinds of financial products that personally a person like me maybe might not be able to afford, or might not get the maximum benefit out of. But just know what's in the market, know what works for you. Don't be intimidated by starting small. Like I said, the best example that I'll give you is the 100 kwacha that I save for my sinking fund. It looks very little, but I know that with years as it compounds, that it's going to be, you know, a decent fund that I can always run to if ever I need to. And that is something that is encouraging, and that is something that I'm very proud of. So today is where we end this episode. Vizu Vizu, stay shining.